Today we're going to talk about consistency. And there are two pages in the outline, which are pages 1 and 2. There'll be a quiz later. Now, page 2, we actually taught maybe 6 months ago, so we're not going to really teach it tonight. We're just putting it together with page 1 because it seems to be an appropriate place to just, you know, stick it on. I want to talk about consistency. I rarely talk about the things that I did or accomplished before I got saved. I do talk a lot about what God has done for me and through me since I have been saved. But when I got saved, as you also were, we became new creations in Christ Jesus. So the life before that, I pretty much just, as best as I can, wipe it out. But I just felt led to start today's teaching with a story. I went to UCLA, and I don't see the SC people here today, so they must have, God must have told them not to come today. So I went to UCLA, and when I graduated, I applied to this company, and they gave me, you know, gave me an offer over the phone to follow up with the letter. Anyway, the company was called Planning Research, and that earlier that year, CBS had done a special on them, for they had 27 millionaires in the company who were under 30. And this is long before the, you know, Silicon Valley tech boom. This is quite a few years before that. At that time, $1 million was really a lot of money. And so that was very impressive. So I applied to them, and they accepted me. And so I'm thought, well, you know, the offer they extended was more than I had hoped for. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to bargain. So I said, well, you know, offer sounds good. Let it come to work for you, but there are two conditions. He says, okay, what are the conditions? Head of HR, human resources. He said, what are the conditions? I said, well, one is salary is kind of low. He says, okay, I can run it up to the ladder, but I want you to know that's the highest salary we have ever offered to somebody straight out of college. I said, it does though. He said, yes. I said, okay, that's good enough for me. I said, no, the second thing is I need a couple weeks off in the summer to take a class at UCLA on this specialized computer language for doing simulations. And I told him the name of the language. And I said, it's being taught by world famous Professor Markowitz. He said, okay, we can do that. We can give you the time off. But, you know, you should know that his office is about 3 doors down from yours. So I never took the class. Now, that was a nice start to a wonderful company. And I could talk about this company for the next few hours. Impressive things they did. For example, you've heard of companies like Hertz and Avis and Hilton. Their first reservation systems were all built by this company on their own system. Okay? Plus a host of others. They built the world's first hotel reservation system, the world's first automobile reservation system. And the people spread out, and for a while there, they basically ran the technology of the country. The people were sent abroad to do design, banking, automated systems for different countries and all kinds of things. Pretty phenomenal. One branch was at JPL. One branch was at JPL. And they were JPL for decades. I actually ended up at JPL for a while. And I have in my collection had many of the original shots of Mars. Over the years, I've given them away, and I now have one which is my favorite. It looks like a teddy bear. There's a picture of Mars where this thing looks like a giant teddy bear, and that's the only one I know for sure I have. Okay, and our manager at JPL, in fact, I worked for him. When the first spacecraft went by Mars, it was covered in a dust storm. It's called the Red Planet because they have tremendous dust storms, and all the pictures that came back. The whole point of the mission is send back pictures. And every picture that came back was all red. All you could see was red. The entire mission, all this money seemed to have been wasted. And my boss, Charlie, figured out a computer algorithm to remove all the redness. Never been done before. And out of that grew all this technology we have today for you know, enhanced body snaps, you know, MRI and PKRQs and SZWs, all these various things. Yeah? Plus a photographer from this one man's work. Okay? And there's only one man in the whole company. Incredible company. But the question is, why did I get that opportunity? And this is the whole point of the story. Because I was consistent before that. When I was at UCLA, you know, I worked full-time for all the time I was there. Totally full-time. And completed a number of majors. But no matter how much work it took, and no matter how challenging it was, and no matter how difficult it was, I would work, if necessary, nonstop, 48 hours. The work most of it did was actually for this company, where I went to work on a Thursday morning and never finished the project until sometime Monday evening. All the time I was working nonstop on this project. That's consistency. I have a goal. This is before I'm saved. I have a goal. I'm going to accomplish it. And before I was saved, that was my attitude. You give me a job, I'm going to get it done. Know that I'm saved and I have Christ in me, how much more so I am that way. How much more so I'm that way. Today, I want to tell you how important consistency is. You know, you look at the thing, how could you go to work on Thursday morning and not get home until Monday evening? But you know, when I finished that first job and I moved to the second job, which was at JPL, I was there first job about 2 years, and by choice, and I said, I want a new position, and they found me one at JPL. And when I went into JPL and I sat down in front of the man whose name was Charlie, Charlie's famous in the company, and I sat down, and Charlie got up, and he walked around me three times. Walked around his desk and me three times. I said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I want to see what a man looks like who walks in water. This is a man who spearheaded much of the work we see today on decoding and cleaning things up. Because of consistency. How many people have ever gone to work and worked 5 days nonstop? Oh, I'm sure there are people at ABC, I see one hand raised, there's probably more than one. If not 5 days, close to it. But that's what ABC is about. We're about consistency, commitment to Jesus Christ, which spells success in whatever you do. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Your children have love and love never fails. You are more than a conqueror. You are a super conqueror. And so talking about consistency prevails every aspect of your fellowship and relationship with God. Now, consistency doesn't affect your relationship, doesn't break it. You are a child of God and nothing breaks that relationship. But it does affect whether you're a child in good standing, whether you have fellowship with God, and it does affect whether you're a child of God feeding on the milk of the word or the meat of the word or the strong meat. It's available to everybody. God's banquet is open to everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are chosen are the ones who choose to go into the banquet of his word and move from milk to meat to strong meat. Now, wherever you are, whether you were born again today or 60 years ago, all of God's promises that you need today to solve your problems today are available to you today. But you need to take a step towards God. James 4:8. You take a step towards God, and God will take a step towards you. You don't have to be able to look back like me and says, I've been preaching the gospel, what? Roughly 30 years. You say, wow, in 30 years' time, maybe I can believe for the things Pastor Joshua is believing for. No, they're all available for you today. Jesus paid the price for you, that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And everything you need for life and godliness is available for you today. But it all is founded upon consistency. Taking that step towards God and continuing step by step. So let us look at the definition of Webster, from Webster, a very godly man who wrote a very godly dictionary. Consistency is steady conformity. Conformity is agreeing with, conforming with, matching, is steady conformity to character, profession, belief, or custom. It's also steady continuity. It's also free from irregularity. General way we use it and understand it, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing without change, interruption, wavering, or giving up. That's what it means to us, consistency. Am I correct? For a Christian, consistency is of utmost importance in areas of reading the Bible, attending church, especially as the day of the Lord draws closer. That's what the Bible says. Praying, affirmations, godly conversations. And by godly conversations, I mean conversation with God, which is the form of prayer. Conversation with others. Conversation when you're speaking to the devil, which are really like affirmations. Whatever comes out your mouth should be godly. Standing in faith. Growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Confessing your sins and tithing. I want to remind you all that tithing loses God's power into your life. God promises in Malachi chapter 3 that he will rebuke the devourer, not as Jehovah Jireh, who provides all your needs, not even as El Shaddai, the God who is more than sufficient, but as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. Tithing is a military action. And that's why the devil tries really hard to keep the church from tithing. Based on surveys, at one point in the last 15 years, 20 years, tithing among Christians actually went down to 3%. I understand it's back up to 12% now. Among evangelicals, it's like 25%. So that's consistency. Consistency affects how you receive from God. It affects how you grow in God, and it affects how you adhere to God, how you cling to him during times of spiritual warfare. So let us look at receiving from God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We teach here, as others do, what we call the power twins. The power twins are faith and patience. With faith and patience, you obtain the promises of God. Hebrews 6, verse 12. Hebrews 11, 6, verse A, part A. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, if it's impossible to please God without faith, we ought to know what faith is. So the definition of faith, primary definition of faith, in the King James, is in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. So what you're hoping for, the substance, what you can get your hand around, what you can feel spiritually or anyhow, is your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Therefore, what is substance? Webster tells us substance is the essential nature of something, or a fundamental quality. What do those two expressions mean? It means substance doesn't change. The substance doesn't change under normal circumstances, you know, right through what? High school, they taught me, the smallest you can divide something into is an atom. And after a while, they could explode the atom. And they said, oh, you can explode the atom because it has electrons, neutrons, and protons. And you can do this. And then by the time I got into nuclear physics at UCLA, they had so many elementary particles that I didn't even try to keep track of them. Frankly, I gave up. I said, forget this. Nuclear physics is exciting, but it's, you know, blowing up, splitting the atom, when you got three different theory to use, depending on what you want to measure, because no one theory works properly, kind of makes me nervous. Okay? So I kind of did my year in nuclear physics and quit. Now, from Hebrews 6 verse 12, the same scripture, but from the Amplified, beg your pardon, the same one I mentioned earlier, but from the Amplified, Hebrews 6 verse 12 in the Amplified, faith is leaning with your entire personality on God with absolute trust. Leaning with your entire personality, all your being is leaning on God with absolute trust. Well, entire means having no element or part left out. You have nothing left out. It's entire. What does that mean? It means there are no interruptions. No interruption, no discontinuity, which means it has to be consistent, which means it has to be constant. So if you're going to walk in faith, you must be leaning on God constantly, continuously, without interruptions. Absolute trust means no wavering and no giving up. So if you're leaning in absolute trust, means there's no wavering. That's why it's called absolute. No wavering and no giving up. So receiving from God, let's look at Hebrews 11:6, part C. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. So, to receive from God, we must have faith. And to receive from God, we must be diligent. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Diligent means persevering application. Persevering application. That means don't give up. You persevere. No matter what happens, you persevere. Where else do we see that in the Word? John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking. And He says, basically, there are two types of Christians, two types of believers. Of course, we know all believers go to heaven, but there are two types of believers. Let me quote it to you. In John 8, 31, Jesus says, to those Jews that believe in Him. So He's speaking to believers. In verse 32, if you continue in My word, then you're My disciple. We see two kinds of believers, regular everyday believers and disciples. How do you fall? How do you get promoted? It's your choice. You can choose to be a regular everyday believer, or you can choose to be a disciple. How do you do it? If you continue in the word. If you continue in the word, then are you My disciple. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So in that scripture, who gets set free? The disciples. See, the true tradition, we tend to think of disciples as those who run around and preach in the ministry. And the rest of it, there's the elite, preachers and teachers, and then there's the rest of us who are listening. That's not the way God sees it. God looks into your heart, and you choose to be a disciple who continues in the word, or you choose to be a regular believer whose eyes are set up in heaven. Now, if you're a disciple, you must continue in the word. The word continue includes consistent. You can't continue if you're inconsistent, because when you are inconsistent, you stop continuing. Continuing is part of continuity. And consistency is continuous. So one chooses to be a regular everyday believer. It's not a question of do you believe the promises. Most mature believers, as you all are, believe the promises. The question is, are the promises going to be manifested in your life? And the answer is, it's up to you. Many are called, but few are chosen. The ones who are chosen are the ones who choose to continue in the Word. Not just the Word you like, but all the words that God show you. All the words you read. Every time we read the Bible, the question should be, what did I just read that I should be doing and I'm not doing it? Or what did I just read that I'm doing that I shouldn't do? And that's what lordship means. Lordship means you not just read this for entertainment. You read it to see how you should change. And the Bible calls that being washed by the water of the Word to bring you into the church that Jesus is looking for, a church of disciples. So diligence. Diligent is the adjective. Diligence is a noun. Diligence. Diligence from Webster is steady. Steady implies consistent. Steady, earnest, and energetic application and effort. What you're doing should be steady. What you are applying your effort to should be steady. How do we see that in the scriptures? Matthew 11:12 in the Amplified. Matthew 11:12 in the Amplified says, a share in the heavenly kingdom. Well, part of that is manifesting in your life the promises of God. Manifesting in your life the power of God. Manifesting in your life everything that's in the Bible that you need for today. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Ardent zeal and intense exertion. Now, if that is not a wonderful definition of diligence and consistency, I don't know. How can you have ardent zeal and you quit before the job is done? How can you have intense exertion if you quit before you come to an appropriate quitting point? So as you see, in receiving from God, consistency is fundamental and integral and of utmost importance. Part 3. Let's turn to James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. We're going to start, let's start in verse 2 just because I like it. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy. Because you're going to consistently continue to do that which you know to do. You don't throw up your hands and say, oh, woe is me, I'm going to quit. Count it all joy. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Patience and consistency are like very close cousins. Many times you can even interchange them. Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You continue in patience. God wants you to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, this is not just something in the future. This can be today. I'm essentially at that point. I want a lot, but not for me, for the ministry. For myself, the only thing that comes to my mind, that sticks out to my mind right now, that I want right now is, I still need the manifestation of full 2020 vision because Jesus paid the price for it. But it's been 10 years since I took my glasses off last, 10 years ago. Before that, I had it on and off periodically. I would take it off for most things and then put it on when I was studying, working on a computer or something. I remember the first time I took it off for an extended period. One sister said to another sister, we're at a party gathering, and she said, what's wrong with him? Pointing to me. Because, I guess without my glasses. Remember, when I first took my glasses off, the floor was like a waving gray structure. Okay? Looking across the street, there's a VW or a trash can, which is usually in that spot. And I couldn't tell if it was the VW or the trash can that was there. This is true. No exaggeration. So, this is maybe a year or two later. I'm there and doing better now. And one sister said, she had not seen me with her glasses. She said to the other sister, what's wrong with him? She said, he's as blind as a bat. By the way, I break that curse in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I break that curse in Jesus' name. You agree with me? Okay. But I progressed from there to where I am today. Just passed my driver's license, DMV, wear glasses. a few months ago. Let's get on to verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you want something, ask for it, but don't waver. You know, waver is back and forth, up and down. See people coming out of the faith movement. There's a lot of wavering. I'm not knocking any specific group. I'm just saying a lot of people catch on to faith when they're in a good service and the anointing is there, and for a few days after, they're built up and they're powerhouses. You hear them speak, they're powerhouses of God. Tremendous faith words coming out. But as the anointing goes down, you see them maybe 5-6 days later, and they're down, they need a booster shot, they need to go back to church. They're up and down, up and down. You want, is this the same person? We all know people like that, right? Praise God. By faith at ABC, there's nobody like that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you waver, then the demons and devils come with attacks, and you're bouncing back and forth like the waves of the sea. Everybody see that picture? Because you're going where the challenges of life drive you. Verse 7. For let not that man, the man that wavered, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The man that wavered shall receive nothing of the Lord. Why? Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A wavering person, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But you know, that's an attitude of our heart. And we can change it instantly. You can instantly say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I choose not to waver. I choose to walk in faith. And Lord, help me with your grace when I fall short. It's an instant decision. It's a decision of your heart. And you keep that decision in your heart. And every time you fail, you speak words of faith. Yes, Lord, I fell. But you know what? In the name of Jesus, I am a person of strong faith who does not waver. And you keep declaring it. And your words will transform your life. It's an instant decision. And as soon as you make that decision in your heart, God will honor it. He honored Abraham's decision in his heart to sacrifice his son. And so Abraham did not have to sacrifice Isaac. He says, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have already done it. Committed adultery, fornication in your heart. The decision in your heart has reality, spiritual reality. You are what you think in your heart. You make the decision in your heart, I'm not going to waver. I'm going to be a person of great faith. I'm going to be a person of mountain-moving faith. And God will honor it and bring you to that point. So, ask in faith without wavering, for a double-minded man receives nothing from God. James 1, verses 6 to 8. So that's receiving from God. You can see how important consistency is. Now let us try growing in God. We want to grow in God. Well, to grow in God, you really have to receive from God. You receive His help, receive His grace, receive His knowledge. Growing in God. God is love. If you're growing in God, you have to grow in love. Why? Because God is love and God never changes. That means He's very consistent. Love is very consistent. Agape love. So to grow in God, you have to grow in consistency. 1 John 4:8, God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Does that sound pretty consistent to you? Does to me. Okay, growing in God. You must grow in love. You must grow in patience. We know how important love is. Let me tell you how important patience is. And remember, patience is like a very close cousin of consistency. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience you shall possess your soul. Remember, this is the same Jesus who said, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So he's saying, your soul is worth more than gaining the whole world. And how do you possess your soul? In your patience. What's going to keep you in the day of judgment? The day when evil tries to come up in your house? The word of your patience. Revelation 3 verse 10. Here's a good Bible definition of patience. Patience is joyful endurance. Patience is joyful endurance. You want to know if you are losing your patience? Check your joy. If you're losing your joy, you're losing your patience. Because patience is joyful endurance. Don't look at me, Sarah. Patience is joyful endurance. What is joyful? Joyful is cheerful despite opposition. Everybody can be joyful when things are going well. Isn't that true? We've all been joyful. We've all had some things go right sometimes. God wants us to have it go right all the time. And even when there are challenges, we're still joyful. So joyful is cheerful despite opposition. What is endurance? Endurance is continued application. You continue to do what you need to do. Wow, doesn't that sound like consistency? Patience is waiting without wavering for the manifestations of God's promise. Once you pray Mark 11:24, once you pray the prayer of faith, then patience is standing during that time of spiritual warfare, after the amen, and before the, there it is, the time after the amen, before you get the physical manifestation, that's a time of patience, joyful endurance, and continue to do what you know you should be doing, which is doing affirmations and other forms of spiritual warfare. Because God has promised between Mark 11:24, and Ephesians 3:20, God has promised you that what you ask, He'll give it to you, or something way better. Growing in God, the best measure of how you and I are growing in God, the best measure of your Christian character, my Christian character, is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Not the gifts of the Spirit. There are a lot of denominational churches who don't believe in tongues and don't operate in the gifts. But they're really big on the fruit of the Spirit. And there's some wonderful believers in many of these denominational churches. But they're not walking in any miracles, signs, and wonders, because that comes from the gifts. But the measure of Christian character comes out of the fruit of the Spirit. So, to grow in God, we need to increase in the fruit. You increase in the fruit. A good way is to picture this analogy. The fruit of the Spirit has nine parts to the one fruit. Picture the nine parts as steps on the escalator. If you jump on the escalator of the fruit of the Spirit, it will whisk you upwards. All you have to do is jump on it. But once you jump on it, there's something you got to do to keep it moving. A regular escalator needs power, electricity, for it to be moving. The fruit of the Spirit escalator gets its power from the top and the bottom, from the love at the top and the self-control at the bottom. The self-control at the bottom is sometimes called moderation, temperance, and a number of other words. But it all boils down to self-control. If you study the lives of the great men and women of God, you will see at a certain point, they all point to the same thing. Everyone I've looked at has said this in certain words. They say, I decided that to learn more about God and draw closer, I was going to get up 1 hour early every morning to spend in the prayer. Or I decided I was going to go up to prayer mountain once a month, every month. They can all point to something, and they all mention something where they, because they loved God, they, because they wanted to draw closer to God, made a decision which required self-control because of love. And when they move into that self-control because of love, it put them on the escalator. And the action of continuing to do what they said, which is get up 1 hour earlier to pray, started the escalator up and moving. And they got better and better. I guarantee you, you go read any of these great men and women, and you will see it. They will tell you the point. So to increase in the fruit of the Spirit, we need to increase in love, joy, peace. That's the grouping that's primarily focused on the heart. Patience, gentleness, goodness, which is primarily focused on the soul. In your patience, you will possess your soul. And in faith, humility, and self-control, which are primarily focused on the mind, for the mind is what controls the body. Okay? Faith is, for example, the shield of faith protects your mind from the fiery darts of the enemy. The spiritual foundation of these is love. Love is a spiritual power that keeps you moving upwards. The personal foundation is self-control. You jump on it because you exercise personal self-control, then God's love will start to increase you and pull you towards Him. The personal foundation is self-control. What is self-control? Self-control is restraint over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. You jump on that escalator and you decide, I'm going to rein in one of my ungodly impulse, emotion, or desire. And you start moving and growing towards God. It may not even be so ungodly. Like sleeping 1 hour long in the morning isn't necessarily ungodly. But it sure is very godly when you say, I'm going to give up 1 hour of sleep to spend 1 hour extra in prayer. That's self-control. But here's the key. You have to continue that growth on a consistent basis. I mean, what if you went into a department store, and you jumped on the escalator, and it went up like 3 or 4 steps and stopped? And you're there for a while, and it goes another 3 and stopped. I mean, how often would you take it? You see what I'm saying here? So once you jumped on the fruit of the Spirit escalator, it has to be consistent for it to work. So consistency, again and again, you see consistency, which is a fundamental part of patience, underscoring the growth in God. Self-control is you controlling yourself. If somebody, you know, we're all here. So I mean, suppose you go to a party and everybody's having fun, and every hour this guy jumps up and goes berserk. He might say, I was in control for 59 minutes. But you don't walk away thinking, here's the man who's out of control. Right? Because it's not consistent. You can't be in control for 59 minutes and go wild for a minute and believe that you're in control. Finally, clinging to God. As we are receiving from God, as we are growing in God, the devil doesn't like that. He's going to want to stop it. He will try to get you away from everything which brings you closer to God. For most people, that's going to be your church and your pastor. Doesn't necessarily mean where you go to church for the last 20 years. It means you're learning. The purpose to go to church is to be in the anointing, have people pray for you throughout the week, and learn, feed on the word. But most people go to church for social reasons. The number one reason why people pick church? Very sad. Parking. The number two reason? Babysitting services. Number 9 is the Word of God. That's the state of the church in North America. So clinging to God. We cling to Him because He is our living hope. 1 Peter 1:3. He is our living hope. He's a living hope for the future and is the hope of life right now. Our hope for everything is in Jesus. There are these 3. Faith, hope, and love. We've talked about love and we've talked about faith. Hope is in the middle. Hope is the blueprint that moves you from faith into love. Hope is the blueprint of the house, and faith builds the house. Hope is not wishy-washy. Hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a confident expectation based on the promise of God. Your hope is in Christ Jesus because He is your living hope. And the Bible says it, you should have confident expectation that it will come to pass. The promises of God come to pass and are manifested in our life as we continue in obedience. Let us turn to Exodus 15:26. Let me show you a healing scripture for you and your family. This is a prayer I would expect everybody to say at least 3 times today. Exodus 15:26. And so Moses, on behalf of God, says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, if you will diligently, there's the word diligently, which we know means includes consistency. If you'll consistently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, not once in a while, but consistently, and keep all His statutes, God says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians from the Lord that healed thee. So He's saying, if you keep His commandments and pay attention to His statutes, His commandments and statutes, He'll allow none of these diseases to come up you, for He's the Lord who heals you. Okay? And that's not the one I expect you to read to say 3 or 4 times a day. Okay? So let's make a notation over here. That's a wonderful scripture, but it's not the one that I sidetracked into. So right next to where you see Exodus 15:26, let's put Exodus 23:25. So you're going to get 2 scriptures for the price of 1. Now, notice in this scripture here, Exodus 15:26, it says, hearken and do. The expression hearken and do, hear and do, is repeated 17 times in the Bible. 17 times God says, if you hearken and do, here's what's going to happen to you. Here are the blessings that will come to you. Hearken and do. A famous one is in Deuteronomy 26. So, He's the God that healed you if you hearken and do His commandments. Now, let's go to Exodus 23:25. Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, which means you shall hearken and do, right? You shall serve the Lord your God, meaning you shall hearken and do. And He shall bless your bread and your water and take sickness away from the midst of you. I maintain, I teach, I believe that every believer should use the scripture when they're blessing their food. In fact, everything that goes in their mouth, they should use the scripture. Now, if you have your own way of blessing your food, that's fine. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying add this to it. It takes 15 seconds. In the name of Jesus, God has promised to bless my bread and water and take sickness from the midst of me. In the name of Jesus, everything I eat and drink has a positive benefit. We had one lady who had to go on chemotherapy, and the chemotherapy was experimental because she was really challenged and extremely expensive. And she started affirming, in the name of Jesus, everything that enters my body or my mouth has positive benefits and no negative side effects. And she went through this entire process. Her hair never even fell out. She got totally healed from cancer. Her friend, who was a doctor, his wife was on the same medication, and she died from it. And he called up and said, you know, my wife has gone home, and I know this medication is expensive. If you come over, I'll give you all we have left. So she came over for it. And he's a doctor. And he looked at her and says, I'm not going to give it to you. She says, why? He says, because you're not taking it. My wife's here fell apart. She totally fell apart and she died. And you look like you're coming from a party. But she convinced them that she was doing it. And she took the medication and got it. Now notice it says, He'll bless your bread and water and take sickness from the midst of you. I was at a dinner function, and I was asked to bless the food. That's all I did, basically said. I repeated the scripture. That you'll take sickness in the midst of us. The next day I got a call. The man said, yesterday I was there, I was sick. Nobody knew it. But when you prayed that prayer for the food, I got my healing. That's the attitude of faith you need for your home and your family. That God will take sickness from the midst of you every time you bless your food. So, spiritual warfare is the devil, through his demons, devils, and evil spirit, trying to get you to deviate from hearkening and doing. They don't want you to be obedient to God. We worship God in truth by doing what he says. He's truth. We worship God as our Lord when we do what he says. Demons don't like that. They want worship also. They get their worship when you do what they say. So Adam chose to eat the fruit. He didn't hearken and do to what God said. He chose to eat the fruit to please his wife. And when he did, he worshiped Satan by his obedience. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world. By that action, Satan became the god of this world. Now, Jesus came and defeated him. He's a defeated god. And Jesus came and got the power back and added more power to it and gave it back to mankind. That's why we know ambassadors of heaven on earth. We walk in that ambassadorship. But the demons don't want us to be obedient. So they try to get us to do something. What? They don't care what you do as long as it's not what God wants you to do. They don't care. They'll attack you with confusion and fear and distractions. Like God says, I want you to go over there and tell this person that Jesus loves them. And fear says, but if you do that, they might be rude to you. And you don't know what to say. And you've only been saved 20 years anyway. Why don't you wait a few more years? You understand what I'm saying? Fear will get you to obey fear, which is the voice of a demon. And we bow our knees to fear, which we all have done. And by faith, we're going to stop doing it instead of doing what God wants. And confusion. Well, I know God said to do something, but what is it? I have no idea what it is. I've forgotten. I'm confused. And the demon said, of course you're confused. You're past 25. You know? Women hit their prime when they're what? 21, 22, I forget. And men at 18? Or vice versa. I think it's vice versa. So you're 25. Of course you can be confused. He said, oh, yeah, that's right. No, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. And they'll use distraction. Oh, yeah, I sat down, open up my Bible, I'm going to read, and phone rings. Well, I know God said to study my Bible for 15 minutes, but this may be important. So you answer the phone. You hang it up, it rings again. And they say, can you do this? Oh, yeah, I'll run to the store for you. 2 hours later, you haven't read your Bible yet. That's a spirit of distraction. And you've been obedient to the voice of the enemy. That's why we really need to check our thoughts against the Word of God consistently and diligently. Consistently, why? Because you want to make sure it matches the mind of Christ, which you have. Iniquity in your heart. It's a wrong way of thinking, a crooked way of thinking. Was implanted there by the devil training people who may have been you when you're younger, or your parents, or your previous teachers. Well-intentioned people. And we learn all this garbage which is unscriptural. And then we make decisions based on this garbage. And because we believe it in our heart, we are creating for our own lives things which are ungodly. So whatever you think in your heart needs to be consistently checked out against the Word of God. Because what is in your heart is the power of your life. The abundance of your heart drives your tongue, and your tongue drives your life. And when we have garbage in our heart that we don't realize it, it's called iniquity. And that's why so many people have challenges. Their lives are a mess, and they don't know why, because of iniquity in their heart. And one of the most important ways of fighting these demons of fear, confusion, distraction, to get dominion over your body, is fasting on a regular basis. Fasting on a consistent basis. And one of the worst things you can do for yourself is to go into a fast and quit halfway. Make sure that before you go to warfare, you measure the cost. And the cost of this fast is, can I do it? Can I go without food for 40 days? If God hasn't told you that, don't do it. Can you go without one French fry every day for 40 days? I think you can. Okay? Amen. Let's turn to part two. I just want to flag it to you. Shouldn't take more than an hour or two. It's the winning attitude. The winning attitude is based on consistency. Part A, conqueror. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. That's you. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8, verse 57. We are super conquerors. If you have a fervent, burning desire, and when you pray, you believe that you have already received it, you will have it. Mark 11, 24, combination of different translations. If you have a fervent, burning desire. How about success? Which is a quotation from Walter Wendell. If you think you're beaten, you are. It's all a matter of what you think in your heart. If you think you're beaten, you are. Proverbs 23, 7. If you think that you dare not, you won't do it. If you'd like to win but think that you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you lose, you have lost. For out in this world, we find success begins with a person's will. It's all in the state of mind. Technically, it's all in the state of your heart. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or to the faster one. The tortoise did beat the hare. But sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who thinks I can. If you think you can, you will do it. If you think you can, consistently and not give up. Winners by Nancy Sims. Have no idea who Nancy Sims is. Winners take chances. Like everyone else, they fear failing. But they refuse to let fear control them. And I would add, no, they do what God says. They don't bow their knees to fear. They do what they believe God wants or what the Bible says. Winners don't give up. When life gets rough, when life gets tough, the tough gets going, right? When life gets rough, they hang in until the going gets better. Winners are flexible. That's really important. Winners are flexible. What you want to do is win. You don't care if you have to get out of your rut or out of your comfort zone or out of the box you're in. The goal is not which box or which rut you're in. The goal is winning. They realize that there's more than one way to their goal and are willing to try others. Winners know they're not perfect. Therefore, they can get out of their present state. They respect their weaknesses while making the most of their strengths. Winners fall, but they don't lay down. They stubbornly refuse to let a fall keep them from climbing. Proverbs 24, 16. A just man falls many times, but rises again. Proverbs 37, verse 27. That the Lord upholds them. Finally, my favorite, persistence. I've had this on my wall for 50 years, maybe. I've gone through some really challenging times in my life. And I remember this has helped me a lot during those challenging times. Okay? There's a time in my life when I was working 18 to 20 hours a day, plus or minus, and my fun was writing down on a graph how many hours I worked that day. If I could exceed the previous day, oh, I got a little jolt there. That was my enjoyment for the day. Sounds pretty sad, but at least it was consistent. It was consistent. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. By the way, this is a secular quotation by Calvin Coolidge. Now, I put the word secular. The last two are also secular. But this one has some stuff in there which really are unscriptural. But you can get into his mindset. I want you to know something about Calvin Coolidge and the research I did, that he was considered a great Christian. Okay? And I want to read to you from Calvin Coolidge, one of his speech, okay? America, Calvin Coolidge. President in what, 1925, 1928. America seeks no earthly empire built on blood and force. This is the President of the United States speaking. No ambition, no temptation lures her to the thought of foreign dominion. The legions which she sends forth as armed are armed not with the sword, but with the cross. The highest state to which she seeks The allegiance of all mankind is not of human, but of divine origin. She cherishes no purpose save to merit the favor of God. This is our president talking about our country. That's the same president to whom this famous quotation is attributed by many, many different people. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Persistence and consistency are almost synonymous. Okay, persistence is a little bit stronger because persistent means you're going towards the goal, and consistency just means you keep doing the same thing. Okay, so persistence is a little bit stronger. Talent would not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent. We all know that to be true. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. And some of the most successful people you know never even went to high school or college. Persistence, determination alone are omnipotent. And this is the part that really bothers me, because of course, only God is omnipotent. But we understand what he's saying. In terms of your characteristics, in terms of achieving the goal, leaving God out of the picture, persistence is what will get the job done. Okay? And I've never seen the last verse, and I did not include the last verse. Until I did this research, I did not know there's a verse missing. After 50 years, I did not know there's a verse missing. But I didn't put it on here because it's really wrong. I appreciate what he's trying to say, but it says, the last verse says, the slogan, press on, press on, has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race. He's saying, never give up. Be persistent. But of course, we all know, as strong believers, it doesn't have a chance of solving the problems of the human race unless we're talking about persistence in God, persistence in Christ Jesus. So in that sense, I guess he's correct. That will eventually solve the problem of human race. So, all this is to say, be as smart as a bulldog. A bulldog bites on, and it's called a bulldog because it won't let go. Be consistent. Grab onto the goal that God wants you to have, and never let go till you win. I did not focus today on patience and consistency because they're like the worst sins. Really doesn't make any difference, actually. Bible says, if you commit one sin, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And every sin will hinder your prayers. I focused on patience and consistency today because it seems to me most people either don't see their impatience and their inconsistency, or when they see it, they don't realize they've actually sins. And they certainly don't seem to realize it's impacting the answering of their prayers. That's why I focused on it. I want everybody to be successful in their prayer life. And yes, we all commit sins. And I'm not singling out these two as being particularly worse. But we need to understand that impatience and inconsistency are sins that impact your prayers. And consistency, which is very close to patience, is what's going to keep you in the day of evil upon your life. And it's how you do possess and control your soul. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus.